Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our producer, Mr. Aaron Zomerns. It is Thursday, June 15th, 2023. Glad to have you along with us just past hump day. On the downside of the week, Mr. Zomerns, how about that?
Yeah, just past hump day.
Just past hump day. I like that. I like that. We appreciate Mr. Zomer's yeoman's work here. In all seriousness, he's doing about every show in the book right now. And Mr. Zomer's, we appreciate you being here and working double shifts. It's always great to have you at the board.
Yeah, and I love doing it.
We appreciate you. The number to call in today if you want to talk to us is, of course, 844-967-2789. Again, 844-967-2789. Make it easy for you. It's 844-967-PARTY, P-A-R-T-Y.
Big 844-96-PARTY.
Oh, what did I say? 967-PARTY? Yeah. Yes. It's a new number to me, so I'm still getting used to it. Getting used to the afternoon, but little by little, we'll get there. It's a big show today. Mr. Zomerns, when you have time, let's cue up a little We Are the Champions, right where it starts. We are the champions, because we'll use that a little bit later. Because big news breaking across Wisconsin today, or at least in Southwest Wisconsin, we're going to have on our colleagues and our friends, Civic Media's own Phil Nee and Henry Bray from WRCO-FM 100.9 in Richland Center, Wisconsin, because they just called, I've been in and out of radio for, 25, 30 years. I started back in 1987. Did a lot of high school sports, a lot of college sports. I don't know that I've ever heard a more thrilling or exciting high school game called than the one we just got done having on WRCO Richland Center. The Ithaca Bulldogs have won the Division IV baseball team championship in fine fashion. They were down to Pecatonica 7-0 and came back and rallied in the final inning to win it 8-7. We're going to have Phil Nee and Henry Bray on later on in the show as they're wrapping things up there from Appleton, where the state championship was held. What a game. I mean, it was absolutely fantastic. And if you look, if you're watching this on the stream or on Facebook and Twitter, and you look behind me over my shoulder, I'm pointing to it right there. That is my Ithaca Bulldog letter jacket. My dad coached at Ithaca, taught there as well. My mom taught there for a while. And my dad was wrestling coach when I was like 5 years old. And so I have this little purple and white letter jacket that says Coach's Helper on the back with the Ithaca Bulldog mascot.
See, I was just going to ask about that. I was going to ask if it was an optical illusion. Maybe no. It's just really far away.
No, it's actually hanging. It's tattered. Here, let me go over and get it. It's hanging behind me. Here it is. So it looks like the mice have gotten into it. I think over the years it was in storage and it kind of did. But look, see, there's my name, Todd, right there.
Yeah, embroidered on the front.
Yeah, in purple and white. So the Ithaca Bulldog letter jacket will hang here today in honor of the Bulldog State Championship.
So beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll put that back there. We'll be talking to Phil Nee and Henry Bray a little bit later in the show. If you were wondering, for those that might be new to Civic Media, in like Eau Claire, La Crosse, and Racine, Kenosha. If you wondered what Civic Media was all about, this is it. I mean, bringing you hometown moments in your life live to your radio and via the stream. We'll talk to Phil and Henry a little bit later about that. Also coming up at the 1:30 hour, we're going to bring in the Vice President and Director of Research at Wisconsin Policy Forum. That is Jason Stein. He's going to be here to give us some facts and some numbers. A lot of spin out there right now in terms of winners and losers on this negotiated, pragmatic deal between Democratic Governor Tony Evers and the Republican leadership in the state legislature on education, funding for public and private education as this state moves forward. We're going to have Jason Stein here. He is going to give us the facts and help sort out who are the winners and losers in that. And then in the second hour, at 2:30, we're going to have Janet Ginsburg, who is a writer and producer, been on a lot of different programs, worked on a lot of things, reality shows amongst them. And here's a show that many of you might have heard of, The Daily Show with Jon Stewart. Janet Ginsburg was a producer for a bit on The Daily Show. We will ask her what that experience was like and what's it like working on some of these reality shows. So that will be in hour two at 2:30. I've been debating, Mr. Zomers, whether I should do this or not. I don't know. Here's what happened yesterday. I was driving home listening to Crudy and Dom on Devil's Advocates. But, you know, as they will tell you, sometimes it's fun just to, you know, tune into other places. So I turned across, across town here in Madison to WIBA and the Vicki McKenna Show. Very conservative talk radio network.
Buckle up.
Yeah, buckle up, exactly. And she was carrying on about the mayor of Miami who had gotten into the race for the Republican nomination yesterday. And then was saying basically, unless you support Trump or DeSantis, you know, you're goofy. And then she started going through Republicans in general. And she made the comment about, she brings up former Speaker of the House, Republican of Wisconsin, Paul Ryan. And she says on the air, she goes, and then you got Paul Ryan. And she says, he's a pathetic suck-up, quote unquote, a pathetic suck-up. That's what Vicki McKenna calls him.
Kind of sounds like she's projecting.
Well, yeah. Well, anyway, Brian Schimming, who's the chair of the Republican Party, is her on-air co-host at times. So I tweeted Mr. Schimming directly. We follow each other. I said, hey, Brian, hope you're well. Is this your stance and the Republican Party stance as well? So far, they haven't gotten back to me. I've got some advice. I'm not sure whether I should give it or not. Back after this on the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. The Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 1:16. That song is blaring on the buses of the Ithaca School District as they make their way back from Appleton, Wisconsin to beautiful Ithaca in southwest Wisconsin as they are the Division IV state champions in boys basketball. That'd be quite the thing in basketball in this month. But boys baseball. I'm so excited I can't even talk. We bring on my friends, my colleagues, our civic media compatriots from WRCO, Phil Nee and Henry Bray, who just got done calling this game on WRCO 100.9. Gentlemen, congratulations on a great call and what a game.
Thank you, Todd. It's a day that we will never forget, that's for sure.
Thank you, Todd.
Oh, you guys did.
I definitely remember. We will. No, we're resilient, Todd. Go ahead.
No, sorry, there's a little bit of a delay. I was going to say, it's a good thing that I'm practically bald already because I was pulling out what little hair I had left listening to you guys. And Ithaca was down, and I don't like to take a lot. I try to be a humble guy, but I have to believe that I had something to do with it because I went down in the sixth inning to my storage unit as I was listening and got out my 1974 Ithaca Coach's Helper letter jacket from when my dad was a wrestling coach. Phil has seen this. It exists. My dad taught and coached Ithaca was a wrestling coach, and I have an Ithaca letter jacket with my name on it, and I brought that thing on the mothballs, and by golly, things got going. Now, I know I had nothing to do with it. Gentlemen, tell us, for those who were not listening, set this up exactly what the circumstances were and how this happened.
Okay, Todd, well, the Bulldogs were down 7-0. And they kind of chipped away at it, scored a run, then a couple of more runs, and then going into the bottom of the seventh inning, they were down by a total of 5 runs, and I should say, 7-3. So they needed 5 runs to win it. Mm. And they came back, eventually tied it at 7, and then went on to win it 8-7 with a game-winning hit from a senior. And how exciting is that? You know, your last at-bat of your senior year, you get a base hit to win a state championship. So Ethan Cockcroft and the Bulldogs get the win. And for those of you who don't know about Ithaca, it's a school of about 120 And they have kind of started a little bit of a baseball tradition. It's their second state championship. They've been there five times. They've won it twice. But to win it this year, Todd, they beat the number one and number two teams in the state of Wisconsin in the rankings.
Well, like you say, my parents taught at Ithaca for a time. My dad's a wrestling coach there years ago. But, Phil, you're an alum. You live in the community. You've been part of it all your life. How exciting was it for you to call that game of your alma mater once again for a state championship?
Very exciting, you know, and I've been away from there for a long, long time, but I still know some of the families, and the young man that had the winning hit, my wife has taken care of in the daycare years ago, you know, so I kind of knew him and know some of the others, but it's really thrilling because it's a farming community, it's a hardworking community, and for them to have that kind of success on the state level is very amazing and really, really cool.
Henry, to Phil's point, I mean, it's almost a little bit in a way, it's like the baseball equivalent of the movie Hoosiers, right? This little tiny town, and they come and they beat everybody.
I agree with that. That's a great surmise of it. Phil, at the end of the ball game, was a little teary-eyed, and I'm not picking on Phil enough. I mean, it was that emotional because, you know, in the fifth inning, Ithaca didn't have a hit until the fifth inning. And they just didn't look like Ithaca. And we were both saying, they're going to come along. And then they started stringing stuff together. And to me, it was just a pleasure being with Phil to watch him. I mean, he was happy. There's a little bit of, I don't know if there were tears, but his eyes were watery. Mm. You know, it was a very emotional time for all of us because it was a huge roller coaster ride in the last 15 minutes of that game. I've never been anything like that.
Speaking of the roller coaster ride, thanks to our colleague Jimmy Koska. He has gotten a couple of clips here. Mr. Zomers, if you're ready, let's give the first clip here. This is Phil Nee and Henry Bray on the call as Ithaca tied things up.
Rutsecker ready. The pitch swung on, bounced towards second. Second baseman bobbles it. He won't get it.
He's coming home.
Winning run is going to be at second. Tying run flies in. We're even at seven. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness.
Second baseman couldn't handle it, and the runner, Manning, scores, and we are tied at seven.
Wow.
How about it?
Gentlemen, I'm getting goosebumps again just listening to the replay there. Listening to that crowd, I mean, Ithaca, this little tiny community in southwest Wisconsin, sounds like the whole community was there.
I'm thinking they were. They shut off the street light this morning when they left. and wherever they go, it seems like they fill up the stands because they really, the school is a community center, you know, so basically they come out and they support the school. We saw lots of alumni there that have probably been out of school 50 years, but they had to come and support them.
And you make such a great point about this being a community thing, Phil and Henry. And one of the reasons I wanted to have you guys on, just because it's a great story for the entire state. But I think as civic media grows into places like Eau Claire, La Crosse, and Kenosha, and Racine, and Green Bay, and people are like, what's civic really about? And I think that this broadcast today by the two of you epitomizes the vision of our majority owner, Sage Weil, of what civic is. It's bringing our listeners hometown community events at the pinnacle of their lives.
Absolutely. That's the biggest story in the community. And baseball, I've always thought baseball is best on the radio. So it's just an honor to be able to call that and to bring that excitement home.
So set this up now. We have the winning call here. Explain to people who did not listen this afternoon, and by golly, you missed a good one. If you did, you can go back and listen to it later. But Ithaca was down till their last bat how many times?
Three times, and both times, the batter had two strikes on him, so there's two outs, two strikes on him, and each time they were able to come through. So the winning run was at second, and the batter, Ethan Cockcroft, is at the plate, and I think he fouled one off, maybe two, and it's a 1-2 count on him, two outs, two strikes, championship game.
Here is the call by Phil Nee and Henry Bray.
And the pitch to Ethan, ripped in the air. It's going to get in there. Salisbury being waved. The Bulldogs are going to win it. The Bulldogs are going to win it. Ithaca, 8. Pecatonica, 7.
What a comeback.
Senior Ethan Cockrell.
Oh, my goodness.
With the winning base hit. Do you believe it here?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my word.
What a finish.
Bulldogs, take the championship away from Pecatonica. They're going to be crowned champions for the second time in school history. Holy mackerel.
What a call, gentlemen. I mean, Phil, I mean, your alma mater and the second time in a state championship game to win it. I mean, no wonder you're a little emotional, my friend.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, it's hard not to get excited. But 41 years ago, I believe, and the program has gone nowhere but up since those days.
And Henry, you might not have grown up there, but you've been part of the community yourself for so long now. And what a cool experience for you, right? To be with Phil at that time, and to be you went and interviewed a lot of the young men on the team afterwards.
Phil, it is what you learn from Phil on a day-to-day basis calling these games, Todd. It is the knowledge that he knows of the sport names, and you know, I'm an umpire, and I have a hard time seeing the balls and strikes, and he was, oh, that's a ball, and you know, it's just amazing. It is really, really neat to be with Phil, and I had an opportunity to do the last four ball games with him, and you know, and it's pleasurable to see Ithaca. I'm in Ithaca like twice a week, you know, with my sales rep, Todd, and
sure,
it's just one of those things that is just amazing to be a part of, and I'm blessed that I.
Well, gentlemen, we appreciate you taking this time on your drive back to Richland Center, again to our affiliate station in WRCO FM 100.9, where I learned the trade with the help of Phil Nee and Ron Fruit and several others, and I obviously am partisan and think it's the best station in the network. But you guys do a great job, and again, if people in other cities across Wisconsin who are new to Civic Media wonder what is in store for your community, what Phil and Henry did today calling this game, this is exactly what Civic Media is all about, bringing local hometown radio back to the Richland Center to maintain it, but back to the rest of the state. Gentlemen, have a safe drive home. Congratulations to Ithaca Bulldogs. They are the state champions. And Phil, it's going to be quite a party in Willow Valley and other parts in between out there in southwest Wisconsin.
Absolutely. They're going to have a big welcome home soon. You know, they're probably going to have trucks greeting them and everybody doing a...
All right, gentlemen, I think they probably hit a little bit of a hill and valley there. But again, Phil Nee and Henry Bray, thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate you. Have a safe drive, gentlemen. And thank you so very much. We appreciate their time today. Wow. Mr. Zommers, what an experience for those young guys, right?
Holy mackerel.
Yes, right? You're right.
Right? No, it's just great. And I think this is, I've known Phil for 36 years. Nobody does it better. But again, for those people, Civic Media is new to a lot of folks in Wisconsin, particularly in Green Bay and Eau Claire and La Crosse and Hayward, Racine, and Kenosha in particular. And people might say, well, what's this new company all about? What those guys just did, that's the vision for Civic Media, to bring that kind of local sports, local news, local coverage across the entire state. And we're very thankful to Sage Weil and Mike Crute for the vision and to get that done. It is coming up now on 27 past the hour. We are going to take a break, and when we come back, you're not going to want to miss it because we're going to get rid of the partisan spin. And we're going to deal in some facts here. And nobody does this better than Jason Stein. He was with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel for years, is a great reporter. He is now the vice president and director of research at Wisconsin Policy Forum. Who are the winners and who are the losers in terms of this deal by the governor, who is a Democrat, of course, and by the Republican legislative leadership on education funding? More money is going into education, that's for sure. But who gets what? And who comes out on the better end of the stick? And was the deal worth it if you look by the numbers? We're going to be talking about that with Jason Stein. And then in hour two, as we have said, don't forget, at 2:30, we have Janet Ginsburg, who is a writer and producer formerly of The Daily Show. And coming up, probably wait until next hour, Todd has to make a decision here. Do I give out some insider advice that may or may not help Republicans on the show?
I think you should. You talk about it. You're teasing,
you think so?
Everybody.
I mean, I'm out of the business. I'm in radio again. I'm out of the business of doling out political advice. But sometimes I just I can't. Vicky McKenna, who is the on-air broadcast partner of Brian Arthur Schimming, who is the chair of the state Republican Party, said that Paul Ryan is, quote, a pathetic suck-up. That's what she called him. And I asked Brian, I asked the Republican Party, is this what Republicans think?
I mean, my personal...
And I got no response.
My personal opinion is just that is some major projecting right there.
Well, I don't know. I want to be accurate. We're very accurate here. I want to be accurate, so... I don't know. Next hour, we'll see if I give out. I don't know if I should. We'll see. Stay tuned. We have Mr. Stein up next. Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tom Lavelle Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 1:33 on a Thursday afternoon, June 15th, 2023. In this half hour, glad to have our next guest with us. It is Jason Stein, formerly of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. That is where I first got to know him when we were both working in the building. I for a legislator, he in the press. Always did a great job with his partner there at the Journal Sentinel, Patrick Marley, who is now working for the Washington Post. And Jason Stein is now vice president and director of research at Wisconsin Policy Forum. Mr. Stein, welcome back to the program. Thank you so much for being here.
Good to see you.
Yeah, always great to see you. One of the things I love about your writing, Jason, even back in the time when you worked for the Journal Sentinel, you're very, very fair. You know, I have no idea about where your personal political areas lie. And you always ask direct and tough questions, but you were always fair with the information that you got. And I think that you were the perfect choice because tell people about the Wisconsin Policy Forum. This is a nonpartisan entity.
Indeed, yes, it is. And thank you for the kind word. The forum has members that range from corporate members to nonprofits to individuals to local governments and school districts. And so we try and keep that membership balanced so that people can look at the forum and say, yeah, I can trust that this must be a nonpartisan organization because it has membership from across the spectrum.
And again, for folks that might not be familiar with the name, part of this was the Wisconsin Taxpayers Alliance previously, correct?
Correct. And the other part, which we were formed by merger in 2018, was the Public Policy Forum in Milwaukee. And both those groups, Public Policy Forum was more than 100 years old, and the Taxpayers Alliance went back to the Great Depression. So, you know, two very long-standing organizations in Wisconsin.
I think that's important for people to understand because certainly here on our show, I give out opinions for what they're worth. We have other shows here that give opinions. People call in with opinions. But one of the things that I'm really adamant about with our program is we bring people on like you to just deal in the facts because I never thought I'd be here in this day and age when suddenly the truth is up for debate. And it's like, no, up is up and down is down. The sky is blue and the grass is green. And I think it's important to deal in facts. So I want to focus a little bit on this pragmatic deal between the governor, who is a Democrat, of course, Tony Evers, and the Republican leadership of the state legislature when it comes to financing for education, both public education and private voucher schools. If you could set this up, first of all, for us, Jason, help our viewers, some viewers, but listeners predominantly across Wisconsin, understand what led to this deal and what the basic tenets are.
Great question. I think, you know, in some ways, it's kind of what we saw at Congress over the past couple of years, where we thought, you know, well, this whole system is gridlocked and broken down by partisanship and no longer sort of capable of taking on big problems. And I think we're seeing that at least, you know, so far, certainly in Congress and so far here in the state capitol, there's, you know, some bipartisan shoots breaking through the earth. So what this bill essentially would try and do is address the fact that in Wisconsin, for local governments, particularly municipalities, but also counties, there's been just really tight revenue picture for many years. In Wisconsin, local governments have two main sources of revenue. One is the property tax, and the other is state aid, which the biggest form of it is called shared revenue. Mm-hmm. Shared revenue is lower today in nominal dollars, not adjusted for inflation, lower today than it was 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. And property taxes are also under very strict limits where the local government can only increase them to capture new buildings that are built. you know, new structures that are built can't raise property taxes to capture any of the appreciation in real estate value of existing real estate. And local governments in Wisconsin don't get, there's a county sales tax, but cities, villages, towns, they can't levy a sales tax. They can't levy an income tax or anything else. And so what you're seeing is for the past 20 years, the state has had all this growth in income and sales taxes. Mm-hmm. The local governments have had strict limits on their main tax, and the state has not been passing along any of the additional revenue it's been getting for local services like police, fire, libraries, streets, things that are done, you know, especially for public safety, almost exclusively at the local level in Wisconsin. And so that is the backdrop for this whole thing. And do you want me to talk a little bit about what Bill would?
Sure. Yeah. So what the what kind of the, give folks an idea of what the big parts were where the governor and the Republican legislature came together, not just on and shared revenue is important, but also this this education aspect too, if you'd be so kind.
Sure. So let me talk about the local government first, and then to kind of get this deal done, the governor made some agreements around education and sort of thought. The main part of the bill would take 1/5 or 20% of state sales tax revenues and say, we are going to dedicate this to local governments. And why is that significant? It's significant in part because, you know, local governments have had a couple years now of very high inflation, but their core revenues have not been allowed to grow to match that inflation. And so they're struggling to hire and keep police officers, you know, firefighters, these key personnel that they need, you know, to operate. Mm-hmm. And so the big component is to take that, provide that funding to the state's program called shared revenue and have that where it will grow over time. You know, as consumer prices rise, so will those sales tax revenues. And then the other, you know, another big portion is to, you know, and we can sort of talk about how that money is being divvied up, but the way the money, the shared revenue money is being divvied up will be more of a benefit to smaller communities mm-hmm. in the state because of the way they sort of structured that for them. And then in addition to that, the legislation would provide to the city and county in Milwaukee are facing very, very big structural challenges, including challenges within their pension system. Mm-hmm. That most of the state has is in a well-funded state retirement system. They're in their own separate retirement systems that have some big problems. And so this bill would dedicate a new 2% city sales tax and 0.4% county sales tax to addressing those issues, and also would make some requirements that, you know, around what they would need to spend money on at the local level. It would mm-hmm. transition their people into the state retirement system. It would mandate that they spend money a certain amounts on police and fire, that sort of thing. So, you know, there's a whole ton of provisions, but that is really the big picture of it. Mm-hmm. And then we can talk about the education.
Yeah, the education one is interesting. Well, it's all interesting. But to me, Jason, because what we've heard, there's a lot of spin, right, on both sides. And so the people that are in favor of a private education, better known, many of them are religious schools, some aren't, but many are. And you know, these vouchers where people can take their portion that would normally go to a public school. They take that money, they take it to a private school. And then you've got the private schools. And so you got the public schools on the other side. So explain to folks kind of who are the winners and losers when it comes to education, please.
Under the education deal, you know, there would be some additional funding for public education, which has been sort of frozen for the past couple of years. They would get some increases. It would not really catch them up for the 2 years that they've been frozen, mm-hmm. But there would be some increases. There would also be really significant increases for independent charter schools and private schools that receive public funding through the voucher program. It gets billed as an expansion. What it really is a funding increase. It's not like an increase to the eligibility of who can participate in those programs, mm-hmm. but it's going to kind of indirectly be an expansion, I think, because it's going to sort of incentivize like private voucher schools to serve more students under existing eligibility criteria. That's my sense of it. I wouldn't say I'm an expert on that, but that is my read of it. So that's going to have some significant impacts within the world of education.
Yeah, we have. I don't mean to go down this rabbit hole because this isn't your story. But we had your former Capital Press colleague Matt DeFore, who's now with Wisconsin Watch, on a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about this that public schools are just not getting the same amount of matching dollars, particularly in special education, as private schools. And so, like, you take Reedsburg, for example. I think they have a $2,000 per pupil shortfall when it comes to special education funding in the Reedsburg School District in southwest Wisconsin. And so I think one of the points people are making is that even though there's more money being put into this overall in public education, it's still leaving school districts, public school districts, short per pupil, which, am I right or wrong, Jason, that puts it on the burden of local school districts then to go to referendum to make up for that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair. If you look at the revenue limits that cap the amount of money that school districts can raise from state general school aids and local property taxes, mm-hmm. those have been frozen for the past 2 years. Now, the schools have gotten federal, pandemic relief money, but that money is going to expire by next year. And that was one-time money. Mm-hmm. But the ongoing revenues that they need to pay permanent salaries and things like that have been frozen the past 2 years. What they're getting out of the state budget is maybe something like a 3% increase in their ongoing revenues in each of the next 2 years going forward. And that may really actually do a reasonably good job of keeping them up with what kinds of inflation increases they're going to see over the next 2 years. But for the past 2 years, inflation has hit at points 8% and 9%. And yet their revenues have been frozen. And unless they've gone to a referendum, they haven't been able to keep up. And from what I can read in the bill as it's coming out of the Capitol, that budget would not catch them up. It would be more something that would keep them from falling further behind.
I think that's a great point. This really isn't a huge help. It's like you say, keeping from going further behind, which a lot of districts are already at or near their breaking point. Molly Beck from the Journal Sentinel, in a piece along with Hope Carnop, I believe. I hope I say the last name correct. I think in their story from a couple of days ago, that the actions resulted in a per pupil ad increase of more than $300 per person in the public schools, and I don't see it in front of me. I read somewhere else. I think for private schools, correct me if I'm wrong, Jason, but it was closer to $700 per pupil on the private school side. So again, there are fewer private schools, right? So that money goes further per pupil. But the point is that public education is getting less per pupil in this agreement than private schools. Is that accurate to say?
It's certainly accurate in terms of the increases. Now, private schools, their funding was below where the average statewide revenue limit is for public schools. Mm-hmm. So they're starting out behind, but they're certainly doing a big, and may still be in some cases behind public schools in their area, a given voucher school. But yet this budget has been a big catch up for them. And again, I think that's one reason why I think you're going to see some expansion some increase in the number of students being served within the voucher system, because at present, to some extent, they may be losing money on each kid that they serve off the state voucher, and they're having to make fundraising. Mm-hmm. And this increase starts to close some of that gap for these private schools, and they may be, for that reason, some schools that aren't even participating in the program right now. Mm-hmm. May look at this increase and say, "Oh, we're in now, because now we like the way the numbers look."
We're talking right now with Jason Stein, who is the vice president and director of research at Wisconsin Policy Forum, a a nonpartisan group who does a great job of kind of looking through the numbers, sifting and winnowing and giving us facts here. We're coming up against a break, Jason. We're going to come back on the other side of it and talk a little bit more about this public versus private education and the funding therein. Also going to touch on what's happening in Milwaukee, have Jason break that down for us. And, you know, maybe we'll ask, we'll see what, I know you're not an opinion guy anymore. Never were really an opinion guy. You can't take an opinion, but just based on your reporter hat and on just being around, what does it say kind of just about the sense of bipartisanship that, as you say, might be a shoot of hope? We'll ask those questions and more to Jason Stein. Stay with us. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, where it is now 10 minutes before the hour of 2 o'clock, 1:50 on the time and temperature sign. We have with us this half hour Jason Stein. He is the Vice President and Director of Research at Wisconsin Policy Forum, a nonpartisan group that tracks where our tax dollars are going and what legislation is being worked on in the Capitol. A busy time of year right now, Jason.
Yeah, for sure. This is like our Christmas and, you know, New Year's and everything all rolled into one.
So help our listeners understand this, because people, we always hear the state budget. Joint Finance Committee, the budget writing committee right now is working through that. We hear the state budget, Governor Evers saying now with the UW education, where the Joint Finance Republicans and Joint Finance Committee are saying they want to cut $30 million plus out of the governor's request, the UW systems request. The governor now saying he's going to veto the whole thing if he doesn't get it. We hear about the budget. Help our listeners understand what we just got, or what we're talking about right now, the shared revenue component, the public education. The legislature is taking this out and voting on it individually. So are they doing this as standalone bills separate from the budget, or is this going to be rolled into the budget that Governor Evers could either sign, partially veto, or fully veto?
It's both, I think.
It's both. Okay.
Mostly apart.
Okay.
So they're definitely doing some of these things as separate legislation. So the shared revenue thing, it's really a provision of the budget, but they've put things in there like governing whether or not there should be school resource officers, police officers within Milwaukee public schools. There's, you know, provisions that affect the how much authority the Civilian Police and Fire Commission has in Milwaukee. And these are things that if they put them in the budget, Governor Evers would partial veto them out before you could blink.
Right.
You know, as soon as that bill got to his desk. And so this is really wonky, but we can only use a partial veto if you're governor. You can only use it if there's an appropriation in the bill. And so they crafted this bill with no appropriation in it, but then there needs to be an appropriation. So then the state budget is almost becomes like trailer legislation, if you will, to like make this whole thing work.
Now, see, for a guy who used to work in the building, that's really interesting. So let me explain this, and you tell me if I'm wrong, Jason. So what they've basically done is they've said, we're going to pass legislation to require this to happen, but we're not putting any money to make it happen. The money's going to come in the budget, and you can either fund it or not, Governor.
Correct. I think that's right.
Okay.
I think that's right. And again, most of the things that are going to be funded are going to be things that the governor wants to fund. Right?
Right.
He wants to fund the shared revenue program. He wants to fund general aid increases for schools. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they can trust, if you will, that he will do that. And I think maybe to some degree, and this is maybe a little before my time, but in the 1990s, I think you might have more just had Democrats go to Tommy Thompson in the budget negotiation. And they would just say, well, if you do this, I agree that I won't veto it out.
Right.
Right. And that's not generally how we roll. here today in 2020.
Not the same amount of trust. Deals aren't happening down the street on East Washington Avenue, at the Avenue Bar.
Not as much. But I will say this, really for the first time, in a way that didn't happen during Beaver's first term, the governor and Republican legislative leaders are talking with one another. Mm. They are negotiating major issues that really substantially affect the public, and they are reaching some compromise. Now, some of the hardest things, like the potential income tax cut that both sides say they want, but want to do in completely different ways, we have yet to see those things get worked out. So it's, they haven't reached deals really on Medicaid or something like that. So, remains to be seen how big a kumbaya will be singing at the end of this process. But, they have honestly done things that I think a year ago we would have said could not have been done.
I'm not going to try to paint Jason into a box here because he's a nonpartisan guy, but I'll simply make a statement and you comment as you want to or don't want to, simply from a factual standpoint. There was another person from another organization called Will. It is a right-leaning group on the airwaves here recently, and not on our program, but another one. And they were saying that this person was saying, even where private schools, voucher schools get increases, public education performance still goes up, looking strictly at performance. My argument is that because there are fewer private schools, fewer students, and they're not required to take every student like a public school student or district is, of course it goes up. And the reason that public schools go up is because we have teachers that don't get all the extra stipends to do all this extra work, and they're working harder with less. And so that we're putting a strain on public schools. And even under this proposal, am I right or wrong, Jason, that if you look at the numbers, there's more money percentage-wise going to private schools than public schools? Or am I off?
It really is a case-by-case basis. I mean, for example, the revenue limit for the current year for school districts median in the state of Wisconsin is like $11,600. Mm. Average is something like $11,900 for K-12 students. Under this bill, a choice student K-8 would be like $9,500 per pupil, but a high school student would be $12,000. Mm-hmm. So, the $9,500 below the average statewide, value, the 9 through 12 pupil is like slightly somewhat above for choice than it is. Mm-hmm. And then, each individual school district is going to be different as well, right? About because the revenue limit for each individual school district is different. So, it's one of these things where it's like, well, it depends, which is like what you hate to hear right. Any talking head say, right? You want a clear, definitive answer.
Got 1 minute left, Jason. Give us the 50,000-foot perspective on UW funding. Do you think they're going to come to some sort of agreement between the legislature and the governor, or is this headed to a full veto at some point?
Well, I do not know. So, of course, what you're saying is the legislature has talked about cutting by, I think, $32 million, which is equal to sort of the diversity, equity, inclusion efforts within different UW campuses. So we have a $7 billion surplus. We have labor challenges as a state. But the legislature has said we don't want to put more money into, four-year public higher ed campuses. Mm. I don't know. Higher education has become pretty politicized.
Yeah.
And so I just don't know. But I do know that the state has a surplus, and I do know that the state has some labor challenges that four-year campuses could address, and that there could be, some benefit to employers and our economy and the public if they were addressed.
Jason Stein, Vice President and Director of Research at Wisconsin Policy Forum. Thank you, sir. We appreciate it. Take your phone calls in the second hour and more. Stay with us. This is the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.